yourself is what I want to help. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm not here to correct anybody. I'm here to introduce you to a finer way. I'm here to introduce you to a way of peace and love, and that is through Jesus Christ. I'm here to introduce you into perfection, and the Word of God is perfect. Am I perfect? No. But I know a perfect one, and his name is Jesus. And I know what I got to do daily to change myself. A particular portion of Scripture, I think it's Matthew 18, I believe it is, where Jesus is walking on the water. Now you got to picture this. When Jesus walked on the water, he didn't do it as God. He did it as a what? A human being. He did it in the form of me and you. Now, can you imagine me walking on water? It wouldn't happen. I'd sink. I'm kind of chubby. But Jesus walked on water as a man. Now, listen to this now. He walked on water as a man. The disciples were out in the midst of the sea. They were rowing their boat. All of a sudden, a strong wind comes through, and the tempest rises up, and the wind gets strong, and the boat comes close to sinking. And the disciples were terrified. So they see Jesus walking on water towards them, and they were terrified. They said, "Oh my God, it's a spirit." Simon Peter says, "Lord, if it's you," listen to this. Now listen to this. You got to pay attention to this. Simon Peter was terrified that the ship was sinking, and the wind was boisterous. In other words, the wind was strong, the waves were high. Then all of a sudden they're sinking and maybe on the verge of death, so they thought. Then he sees Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. The Bible says they all began to be in fear. They said, "Oh my God, it's a ghost." Who's ever seen a man walking on water? Here Jesus is walking on water. Simon Peter begins to be scared, and he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." In other words, he said, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you, Lord." He said, "If it's you, Jesus, bid me to come to you. Ask me, Lord. If that's you walking on water, ask me to come to you." So Jesus hears the request of Simon Peter. He says to Simon Peter, "Come." One word from Jesus. He says, "Come." Simon Peter's on the boat that's possibly sinking. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you, Lord." Jesus says, "Come." Simon Peter begins his journey walking on water. He physically walked on water. Jesus, well, he said, "Come." And he started his journey to Jesus, walking on water. And the Bible says that the wind was boisterous. In other words, the wind was strong and the waves were high. But Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you, Lord." Jesus says, "Come." He began walking on the water to meet Jesus. Then he looked to the left and he looked to the right and he saw the waves were high. And he saw that the wind was strong. And he began to what? The Bible says, he began to sink. He began to sink. You have, how many men are there in this lake walking on water? Simon Peter was what? A man. He took a couple of steps on the water. Jesus walked on the water as what? A man. You have two men. Now you can't picture Jesus doing this as God. He did it as a man. Walking on water. Now, if the wind was strong and the waves were high, don't you think the winds were strong to just one man or to both men? Both men. The wind was strong to both men. The waves were high to both men. What was the difference? And you got two men, one walking on the water, one calling, "It's me, come." He sees Jesus, walks to Jesus. He sees that the wind is strong. He sees that the waves are high and he begins to sink. But Jesus walked on the water. The wind was strong. The waves were high. What made Simon Peter begin to sink? Help me with that. The winds were strong. The waves were high. What made him? He started out walking on water towards Jesus. He took a couple of steps. Then he saw the wind. He saw the waves and fear set in. And he began to sing, "Lord, Lord, I'm drowning. Save me, Lord." And immediately Jesus saved him. But there was two men on the same lake or the same sea. Same circumstances. Same strong wind. Same high waves. What was the difference in their lives? The problem wasn't the wave. The problem wasn't the wind. The problem was the thought process, the process of the thinking of Simon Peter was the difference. It wasn't the waves. It wasn't the sea. It was what was inside of Simon Peter, the doubt and the unbelief. See, it's not the trial that's the problem in our life. It's not the trial's problem. It's not that the trial's a problem. It's not that the pressure from society is a problem. It's not that the tribulation is a problem. If I get mad at you, guess what? You're not the problem. If a man takes my wife and he steals her from me and she commits adultery and leaves with him, and I get mad at my wife and I get mad at the man that took my wife, guess what? They're not my problem, not according to me and you in the kingdom of God. Let's say you steal from me and I never want to see your face again. You're still not the problem. Jesus, as a man, Jesus in his perfection was talked about, was slandered, was beaten, was killed. Yet he never walked in offense. See, it's not your circumstance that's the problem, my friend. It's not your worst enemy that's the problem. It's not the fact that you have no money as that being the problem. It's not the fact that you don't have a job as being the problem. All problems, all doubt and unbelief lives inside of me and you. Me and McKenzie were talking before church. And he said, man, Homer, my flesh was talking. I ain't want to come to church. Been there, done that. Amen? But he was smart enough to know, see, our flesh, the problem lies inside of me and you. I said, you're right, McKenzie. I feel the same way. I got to come preach on Sunday night. That bed feels good. Sitting on my couch, asking my wife to put lotion on my feet, make me a sandwich, give me some tea. Couldn't give me the control, but Dad, the control's right next to you. Shut up, boy, give me the control. He said, Dad, you're the only one that asks us for the control, and it's 2 feet away. I said, shut up, boy, give me the control. That's convenient. Our biggest problem, according to Psalms 103, is our flesh. It doesn't stop. But we have hope, my friends. Me and you have hope as sons and daughters of God. Nobody is ever your problem. I don't care what they do to you. I don't care what they've said about you. I don't care what they stole from you. I don't care what they did or didn't do. I don't care if they burnt your house or stole your car or killed your kids. I know that's extreme. But no one, no trial, no persecution, no tribulation, no circumstances ever the problem if you take an offense and you don't believe. It is never, ever anybody else's fault. My mom and dad divorced after 20 years of marriage. And guess what? Our victory, our peace is internal. We got the Spirit of the living God living inside of me and you. The Bible calls us super victorious. We are sons of the Almighty God. We have to learn how to overcome our worst enemy. And our worst enemy is ourselves. See, Jesus, the word of Jesus was sufficient for Simon Peter. Come, Simon Peter. Was it Jesus' fault that he spoke the living word to Simon Peter and Simon Peter looked at the waves and the water? No, it was not. The word of Christ was sufficient. Come, Peter, come. All Peter had to do was stay focused on that one word and the man that spoke the word, and he would have walked on water. All he had to do was, when Jesus said, come, he just had to just keep looking at Jesus, and he would have made it. But no, but something inside of him caused him to look at the wind, to look at the waves. That's why we fail, because of failure that lives inside of our soul. You can't never blame a circumstance. You can't never blame a person. If you blame a circumstance, if you blame a person, if you blame a trial, if you blame a tribulation, you will always stay in the gutter. You will always stay in the gutter and never come out. You can sit there your whole life mad and blaming people, when this whole time blame and unbelief lives inside of me and you. Jesus had a cousin named John the Baptist who was beheaded in prison. Beheaded. Cut his head off. Do you know what Jesus did when they beheaded his flesh and blood? Do you know what he did? He went and he rose the dead. He went and he healed the sick. He heard that his cousin was beheaded. He heard that his cousin had been killed. And he went and had compassion on people. He did this as a man. If he did it as a man, guess who else can do it as men and women? We can. We are not each other's problem. I'm not your problem. Poverty is not your problem. People are not your problem. Circumstances are not your problem. Our problem lies within ourselves. That's why most Christians can do nothing for the kingdom of God, because we can't get past what? Ourselves. I'm here to help you today. I'm here to help myself. Jesus spoke these words. Listen to this carefully, I beg you. I'm here to help you. As God helps me through my time of reading the Bible, as the Holy Spirit relays God's truth to me when I pray in the Spirit, as I'm learning, you're also learning what I'm learning. I had a vision. I can't talk about it. I don't know when I can. I had a vision in a dream last night. Nothing like it in my life. And in that dream that I had, I received correction from A to Z of things that I do wrong. Some may think they're little things, but to God, they're serious. And it was so awesome what I saw, and I knew it was God ministering to me. I can't go into it, but my God, the correction that I received from God was so loving and so powerful. All issues in life are, my friends, are inside of us. I was at a baseball game the other night. An umpire was real rude to my son. Very rude. I mean, he didn't provoke it. Very rude. I mean, just... And I wanted to as a dad. I could have done nothing to him. I would have swung at him. I would have missed and fell. I couldn't have seen him. And I was just sitting on my chair. My son did nothing wrong. But there's other people there. And he was real rude to my son. And my flesh, like my friend, is that my kid in the front row? My point of the, is he in front? Okay. Alex, I ain't that dumb. I know your voice. But my flesh, like Mackenzie talking about my flesh, the dad instinct in me wanted to rise up. I said to myself, I said, but he would have said that my son Quentin was here. Because Quentin would have done jumped the fence. But as a dad, I wanted to speak up. I said, you know, sir, you want to yell at somebody, yell at me, his dad. He would have beat me up. I couldn't even see him. But I had my wife with me. She's strong. But you know what? But you know what, though? It felt real good, Sandy. Not saying nothing. I wanted to so bad. But it felt so good, I just endured it. Me and my son talked, I says, what do you think? Since dad, I want to hit him with a ball. I said, no, sir, we don't do that. But it felt so good to tell my flesh, you ain't my daddy. What if I would have been rude to that man and that man would have walked in this church Sunday morning? What if? See, it wasn't that man's fault that I wanted to respond to him. It was something in me that wanted to respond to him. That part of me and you that wants to respond is the part that we have to put to death. We got to get rid of that part. Jesus said these words, and I'm almost done. We're going to worship a little bit. Listen to this closely. Jesus said, after they had, and just so you'll know, I'm not opening up the Bible and going verse for verse, because right now, I hate even saying it, I've allowed Satan to take my eyesight. But it's coming back. It's coming back. I'm telling you, it's coming back. So I got to preach to you as I remember the scripture that comes out of me. That's what I'm preaching to you. I take my word for it. It's there. Jesus said after they had confessed him as Lord, then he said to the disciples something so incredible. Listen to this now, I beg you. I'm here to help you be a better person in God. He said, if anyone, this is why the divorce rate in the church is the same thing that it is in the world. And this is not against anybody. It's got, that's why probably the rate of virgins, male and female, is probably the same in the church as it is out of the church. Hey, I'm not going to be hypocritical to you. I wasn't a virgin when I got married. Neither was my wife. I had an older daughter that had two kids out of wedlock. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm just making a point here that there's no difference anymore between the church and the secular world. There's no difference. And I'm not judging God. God, I'm not judging. No, I'm not. Because you might have made a mistake. I know I've made them. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, right? Thank God that we're forgiven. Thank God his blood flows freely. Thank God that I can start anew again. Like Rebecca St. James said to the young ladies that had lost their virginity, said, don't worry about it. Just repent and be a recycled virgin. That's what our God's all about, man. That's what our God's about. But Jesus said these remarkable words, and the church has not grasped these words. Had we grasped and understood these words, we wouldn't have the failure that we have in the church. We wouldn't have preachers falling by the dozen. If they could grasp the words that I'm fixing to share with you. That's why Pastor Bronk is one of the most respected men that I know. Nobody have you seen that many people preach in our church. I knew a pastor once, and I'm not going to say names. It's not, I'm just to prove a point to you how, what the church is now. He got a girl pregnant. Left her out of wedlock and was ordained 2 weeks later. Nothing with him now. But we don't know the power of the scriptures. Jesus said, not me, Jesus said, if any man, listen to what he said, after they had confessed him as Lord, well, who do men say that I am, Simon Peter? That you are Jesus, the Son of God. Then Jesus, this is what we need to understand. After we get born again, we're too quick to want to go preach and teach. We're way too quick. Jesus said, after you've acknowledged me as the Son of God, after you've confessed me as Lord, he said, if you desire to come after me, in other words, if you desire to be my disciple, listen to what he said. And I was brought into the ministry when I wasn't ready. A man had good intentions. He put me in the ministry with a lot of issues in my life. And I still got them. But Jesus said to me and you, that's why I respect these young men up here. I respect them. And I think Alex wouldn't mind if I say that Alex at first wanted to be heard big time, wrong or right, in the beginning. Yes or no? Yes. You wanted a voice, didn't you, son? You started praying in tongues, what happened? The desire's diminishing, correct? Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. Is Barbara fishing here? Hey, Barbara. Listen to what Jesus said. Barbara's another one. She could care less about preaching or teaching. Just give her tongues and her Bible and let her go to work. And she's happy. But see, that's what we need in the church, more people like that. We've had people leave our church because they haven't been allowed to preach. But Jesus said, and I keep saying it on purpose, and hopefully I got to the edge of your seat. But Jesus said to the man that had just confessed him as Lord, if anyone would desire to come after me. In other words, if anyone desires to follow me. Listen to what he said. If anyone desires to come after me. Jesus said, let him first. I'm sitting right there next to Alex and Renee. I can see them too. I'm sitting between them, hearing the words of Jesus. He said, Homer, you confess me as the Son of God, Homer. I said, yes, Jesus. He said, Homer, if you desire to come after me, first, listen to what he said, deny what? Yourself. So he did first, if you desire to come after me, Homer, first learn to deny yourself. We don't know what it's like in the modern day church to deny ourselves. Deny what? Deny the passions of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, denying that part in us that wants to sin against God. He said, first deny yourself, Homer. Then come and take up your cross. Follow me. What? Daily. He said, deny yourself, Sandy. Deny the things in you that oppose what's right. And the things that are wrong in you, deny them by not doing them. We're called to deny the things that our flesh likes. I'm going to be honest with you. When I see a Miller Lite commercial on TV with the ice on the side of the beer, I think about it. Some of you might say, well, it's not wrong to drink. Well, if you could pop open a beer or a can of beer in the presence of Jesus Christ and feel comfortable with it, then so be it. Go ahead. Guess what? I don't believe you can. If you could smoke a cigarette or black in front of Jesus Christ, if you can do it comfortably, then do it. My conscience tells me no. He said, Homer, deny yourself. Deny the very fact that you wanted to defend your son's honor at that baseball game. Deny the ugly response that you wanted to give that man that was rude to your son. Deny those things. My other son, Quentin, has been in trouble many a times. And it's not to make him look bad. But as a father, the first thing in me is to want to defend my son. But I've been asked by Jesus, the head of the church, to deny responses that would be negative to people. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is asking you, if you desire to follow, he says, deny yourselves. Deny your appetites. Deny the things inside of you that oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. What kind of things are you talking about? I think you know what I'm talking about. If you'd like me to elaborate and go from A to Z, I can. But I think you know what you have inside of you. I know what I have inside of me that I need not do. And so do you. I don't have to tell you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here as a man to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. I'm not qualified to judge you. I'm here to help you be that stronger young man and young woman in God. He said, if anyone would desire to come after me, Jesus said, let him first deny himself. Deny the things that you like that are wrong. Deny them. Say no to them. Then come. Then come. And follow me. There's things that I had in that dream last night. It's like he talked to me, Sandy, all night long. I saw Barbara, the Star of David in diamonds. I can't go into detail. I got to stop there. But I saw the Star of David in shining, beautiful diamonds. Maybe I'll tell you later what that means. And then it was like a list of things that I was doing wrong in my life. Things that I said that I didn't think were wrong, but they were wrong. And I kept saying, I love you, Lord. I love you. And he would show me another thing that I had been doing wrong. And I said, God, I love you, Jesus. And then the more he showed me, the more I praised him, because I know that he was showing me and correcting me in love as he only could. There's things, my friends, that you do as a Christian that Jesus is saying to you tonight, deny yourselves of those things and come. Come to me. Come. Don't look at the wind, my friend. Don't look at the wave. Being a Christian is keeping his ways above your ways. Keeping yourself pure before Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, your life, my friend, does not belong to you anymore. If you desire to come after me, Jesus says, see, that's why people don't last in church long. They give themselves to God, but they don't want to deny their appetites. Then they fall away. Because you can't give your life to Jesus and live your life the way you want to live it and be comfortable in God. It doesn't work out. Something's going to give. Either you're going to serve Satan more or you're going to serve Jesus more. That's why a Christian that plays with the world is a miserable Christian. But Jesus is saying, the head of the church, deny yourself. If you desire to come out, if you desire to be my disciple, deny yourself. Deny yourself. We're called to overcome our flesh. Is it easy sometimes? Nonetheless, we've been commanded. I want to help you be a better person in God. So what do I do to overcome myself? I know the number one thing that I do right now is I pray in the Spirit a whole lot. I sit there and I pray in tongues in the Spirit for hours a day. I sit myself down in a chair and I hear God's word through my iPhone and I just pray in tongues. And at the end of the day, I'm talking to Ashton before church, and she said, God, it makes a difference. Oh, yes, it does. God, it makes a difference. If there's one thing I want to do in my life, that's get rid of the junk that I have in my life. And I found nothing else in my life that gets rid of me than praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. That's why it's so vital. You'll be here Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday that you come join Alex here for an hour, the hour of power. Sit there and pray and get rid of yourself. Because by the time I go home, by the time I die, I want to be a man that Jesus can use to win people to him. But he first called me to deny myself. To deny the things that oppose what's right. That's what we're after here as a body. You're not here by accident, my friends. You might be mad even being here, but you're here because something in you agrees with what I'm saying. The word of Jesus is sufficient. It's not his fault that we don't believe it. Jesus needs young, strong men and women that would deny their appetites. Follow him daily. See, the thing is that we deny ourselves on occasion when our emotions feel like denying ourselves. You know when I feel the strongest sometimes, or when I don't feel like doing right? When I don't feel like doing right and I feel wrong decisions pounding my ears and my head. Yes, your pastor, when I feel spirits from hell badgering my mind and me not wanting to say what's right or me not wanting to do what's right. You know when I feel the best? When I feel like doing wrong, but yet do what's right. After that, I get excited. Because it's easy to do what's right when you feel like doing right. It's another thing to do right when you feel like doing wrong. That's called what my friend Mackenzie Alexander called. That's called overcoming your flesh. That's called denying yourself. It's easy to respond in a negative manner. It's easy. But when every devil in hell or so we think encamps against our mind, when I feel that if I get up in the morning, I'm not going to see. Sometimes I feel I am going to see, then sometimes I think I'm not going to see. Sometimes I don't know which my son's last baseball game that I'll see. When I feel like that. And I feel like that sometimes. That's why I saw my son today play baseball. Because I think to myself, God, what if I never see him again? But even when I feel like that, and I wake up in the morning, I say, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you paid the price for my eyesight. See, I got to be able to see. Told my son, Quinn, I said, son, you got to promise your dad, son. I want to see you. See, I want to be there on senior night to grab his hand. Me and my wife to grab his hand and to walk him down that track. It's been hell. But he picked the right daddy because I'm with him forever. See, I want to live, be able to see them. I want to see my son. Why do you say, Quentin, you love him more? No. I want to see my daughter graduate from the Air Force. I want to see Elijah play big time baseball. I want to see Nathan succeed. But even when I don't feel like it, sometimes in my walk where you go to sleep thinking, well, maybe this is a day that I'll wake up with 20/20, I mean, yet my flesh, like Mackenzie said, whispers quite the opposite. Oh, no. You're going to be put on disability. My daughter said, you'll never see. You'll be blind. That's the part of my flesh that I have to oppose. When I feel my flesh talking to me like that, I have to begin to confess the Word of God. The flesh, the accusations, they never stop. When will the flesh stop, Pastor Homer? When we die. When will temptation stop? When we die. When will trials cease? When we die. When will tribulation cease? When we die. But until that day comes, Jesus has called me and you to deny ourselves. Some of the things that he showed me last night in that dream were incredible. But yet Jesus was so right. Jesus knows what's best for me and you. He knows what's best. So fight with me in this prayer. Pray for me. There's a place that we have to find. We're giving our lives for the sake of Jesus, where we count it all joy. Where if it the choice is upon us. It says either you deny Jesus or I'll blow your head off. There's a place that the church has to find where we're willing to die for the gospel's sake. Or someone say one time that unless you find something worth dying for, you're not really living. See, Jesus died for me because he loved me so much. And I'm not here to judge you this evening. I'm here to help you in God. It's time that the body of Christ knows a little bit about self-denial. And it gets so easy to learn to deny yourself if you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God and renew your mind. So I ask you before we go home today, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, teenagers gather here to pray in the Spirit. And renew your thought process. Renew your mind by God's Word. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a wonderful place to camp out and to renew your way of thinking. To renew how you think about, to renew your mind about how you think about situations. It's time to have an attitude in God, man. For a boldness to rise up inside of our heart where we're not afraid of the devil and we dang sure ain't afraid of our flesh. Jesus needs some radicals. Jesus needs young men and young women that will deny themselves for the gospel's sake. I love watching McKenzie play football because he's cocky. He fights with the coaches sometimes. You know, I like it. Jesus needs young men and women that are so radical that will stand in the face of adversity and laugh at the devil. And I believe that this little church, this older youth group, you're the ones. We don't have the big budget here to feed you, but we don't have the basketball goals or the gyms. We don't have that to offer you. But what I can offer you in God is the anointing and truth. And if you're hungry for God and you have ears to hear, then this is a place for you. But you got to have an ear to hear. Leave this place with a mindset that I'm going to encounter Jesus. Renew your mind by reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Come, get a hold of Alex. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, come pray. I'm telling you, it will make a difference in your life. You will learn to deny those worldly, ungodly appetites. If you let God work through you and in you and for you. Ashton said it herself earlier in church. Oh, it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. I want to see you make it, man. I want to see you happy. And more than me wanting to see you make it, more than me wanting to see you make it, Jesus, the head of the church, has so much for you. You must first learn to deny yourself. Because if we deny ourselves our ungodly appetites, when the world sees what we used to do and we see what we don't and don't do now and do now, and they say, my God, I knew Sandy before. Something about her. Yeah, my friend, it's called self-denial. Sandy Self-Denial Rentals is her new name. See, the church knows very little about it. We think we got to defend ourselves in every situation. I wanted to take up for my son real bad. So did my wife. So did Ruben, our deacon. So did Danny, my neighbor. Homer did more. But I shut my mouth. Because Jesus has called me to deny myself. To deny whatever is opposite of truth. Amen. Well, it's pretty quiet here, so I assume and I take that it bore witness with your spirit. I beg you again, I remind you again, try your very best. They pray for an hour every Monday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday in the Spirit. If you can only make it 15 minutes, then come 15 minutes, man. It will bring an everlasting change in your life. What are they going to do for an hour? Pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. And then on your spare time, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Renew your mind through the Word and edify and exhort and comfort your spirit through praying in the Spirit. I beg you, my friend, there'll be a change in your life. I'll die doing what I'm doing now, believing that God has provided a miracle for me. All I know to do is what I'm doing now in God. It is not God's will that I be blind. It is not His will. And I will fight to the day I die and try my best to believe all that God is, that it's His perfect will for me to see 2020. So if you're praying at night, remember me in your prayers, because it dang sure won't hurt anything. So bow your heads with me, please, before we go on. So Father, we praise You this evening, and we thank You that You've indeed called us to deny ourselves, Lord, and to take up our cross and follow You daily. Father, I'm just here to help, Father, and exhort in the Spirit through the guidance and counsel of the Holy Spirit, Father, to help these young people, Lord, with their walk with You. Actually, it's not me to help them, Father, but I can just teach them to turn themselves over to the Holy Spirit. They would never be the same, Lord. We don't need a youth group of 300, Father, to prove a point. All we need is 20, 25, or even one kid, Lord, that makes a difference in society. They just sit and allow Your Spirit to edify them, Lord. I thank You, Father, for all that You are. Thank You for all that You are. And we praise You. And we worship You this evening. And we thank You for it so much, Jesus. Let's just come before we go home. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit. Give Him all kind of praise tonight before we go home.